Attention listeners, because of brain farts and the 2 weeks we've had off, we refer to this episode as 110, when of course, according to the listings, it was 109, because it was 108A and 108B. However, henceforth, 109 will be known as the Lost Bud Pod episode, and if you can't remember when something is, or we can't remember where something is, we'll probably just say that it's in episode 109, just to annoy people. Okay, thank you. It's BudPod 110, 110. Is that something?
110. It's a binary episode.
Yes, bleep bloop.
Bleep bloop. Welcome to episode bleep bloop, everyone.
it's our first binary episode since episode 101.
Fuck, I've forgotten my binary now. 110 would be... Zero is... Oh, for God's sake.
I love the idea of you saying, I've forgotten my binary, the way people talk about, like, GCSE French.
I've completely forgotten
it. I used to have such good binary at school. When did you learn binary?
When I learned binary, at uni, doing engineering computing and... Yeah, definitely. Because, we had, like, microprocessor courses and all this sort of thing. I think we actually had binary... algebra and binary algebra and stuff, and you have to learn how to add binary and...
Yeah. Robots have a microprocessor course before their main course. Yum, yum.
This is going to annoy me now. I'm going to have to look up... it's basically the numbers are to do with the powers of two, but I can't remember if the two is the power or the fucking one is the power.
Well, you have to look it up or it's going to torture you.
It really is. I feel so stupid now.
I'm gonna start referring to this sort of thing as Wangian regret. And eventually, we should popularize that, PudBuds. I want you to start using that to describe your...
Right, okay, now I remember it, yeah. So for each position of along the binary, it corresponds to a power of two. So the first number of 110, which would be the zero, is 2 to the power of 0, which is 1. So 1 times 0 is 0. So you remember that number? And the next number along in the binary is 1. That corresponds to 2 to the power of 1, which is 2. So that's 2. So 0 plus 2, we're at 2. And then the third one is 2 to the power of 2, which is 4. So 1 times 4 is 4. Plus the 2 is 6. So the binary 110 equals 6.
Yeah, I'd really, you lost me. I was okay till about halfway through that. Generously.
Yeah, it's simple once you see it written down. I mean, it's just a very clever way of assembling, finding a system of assembling any number you want. With representations of just on and off, i.e. 1 and 0. But, I mean, learning engineering in university was an existential crisis because I realized how stupid I am. When I'm learning about some of the things people have invented and discovered and developed, and I'm like a blade of grass, my intelligence. In comparison to these people.
Well, I mean...
I can't even learn... I'm having trouble learning what they discovered. And they started from nothing. I'm being given all the information. And I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm being shown how they eventually did this after years of trying. And I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
It's like not only am I too stupid to do 2 plus 2... I don't know. I can't visually recognize the number 4. You're showing me a 4, yeah. And I'm going, "Buh?" I had the art student equivalent, or maybe, well, yeah, for my weird ass degree, which is just people who already knew 4 languages and then learnt another 2 for fun that they never used.
Mm.
Or people who are just like. Excited to learn 13th century Estonian grammar.
Yeah, I mean, but thank God for those people.
Oh, dude, without those people, we'd all be worms eating mud.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know anything. We'd just be grubbing around. But I think that's why some people at university have a kind of breakdown, because especially if they're from like a small pond and they're a big fish, suddenly they're just like midstream at best and their mind just snaps.
Well, I mean, I'd been to school like in Malaysia, Brunei, then UK, and I was always like, you know, I just crushed it. I was always at the top. Like, I did so well at physics at A level that my teacher let me take off a double to catch up on my music. He was like, yeah, you got this.
Oh, wow.
Like, I near the exam, I didn't need, he's like, you don't need to come to today.
He'd ask you to do some lessons here and there.
Yeah, can you cover for me actually this Wednesday? Yeah. And I got like the physics prize at my school, and then I got to engineering at university, and I was just like, dung. I felt really existential. Like I had a breakdown. I had an emotional breakdown at the end of first term.
Did you? Because you were the year above me, so I didn't know you in your first year. I met you post-breakdown.
I had a full-on breakdown. Really? It was like my whole sense of self had to reset, really, after the first term of Cambridge.
You were one of those guys.
I was a nearly quit.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
See,
I was a near first termer.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that. I would see the Wang I met had already had that steel in his eyes.
Yeah, but that's after I'd like reshaped my whole identity. And that's after like comedy had really taken hold and that had become my predominant value system.
Yes, yes, yes.
Was how well I did comedy. So I was very fortunate in that sense. But like the first term of uni, I was so desperate to do everything I felt I was supposed to. I was doing comedy. I was doing engineering, which is one of the most arduous courses there.
Yes.
I was singing with the King's College B Choir at Evensong, which is like twice a week, and then plus rehearsals and practice. I was rowing.
Oh my god! I forgot you did rowing.
I was doing college football while trying to go to the gym, plus trying to keep my trumpet going.
Trumpet.
And I was like, this is what you're supposed to do. Because all these like various threads that I pulled along with me throughout my adolescence.
And you can do them in high school because they give you time.
That's right. I'd assume they would all, coming up, building up to this point where they would all at once
be brilliant,
mature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is where they would all come to fruition.
They'd carry over, and they'd all be university level.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. And
God.
And I couldn't. And it was mad. I was I had a complete emotional breakdown. I didn't know what. I couldn't figure out what was going wrong. I couldn't figure out why I had no time and why I. why I
and
felt
you're good
useless
at maths as well. Like you're sat there with a 24-hour clock going, but but how?
And I remember I spoke one to one of the other engineers at King's, and he was just from a very different mindset to me. He was just like, you enjoy what you can do, and you leave what you can't. And I said, I just hate rowing. I don't know what to do. I can't. And he's like, well, quit then if you don't like it. And honestly, I had to sit there in silence for about 2 minutes to try and compute what he'd said. and then in second time, I came back and I quit like 80% of the things I was doing. And I basically just did engineering and comedy. And yeah. And that's why that's why when you met me at the beginning of my second year, I was like Buddha.
Yeah. When I shook your hand, it was soft as silk. And you glided in without even, and you spoke to me without looking at me. You just looked at the sky.
Yeah, I covered my one rowing scar like Napoleon, just slipping my hand into my jacket.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. I missed I missed out on meeting the Phil Wang who was his own tiger mother.
That's exactly what it was.
You were just being your own overbearing parent. Like, stereotypical Asian parent, where it's like sports, instrument, science, singing.
Yeah.
Not a single thing to do with the humanities as well. Classic.
Yeah. I remember, like, I went to, like a voluntary lecture on Southeast Asian development, I think, or, like, politics or something. Right. Like, it wasn't even in my course. And I was crazy. I was nuts. I was just like a kid in a candy store, but where all the candy hurt you.
It is. You do get a kind of weird brain fire, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your brain gets all hot.
Yeah.
That's true. I was very fortunate, Phil, and my dad told me this at the time. I was fortunate to. In my year at school, there were two or three people who would intermittently/regularly beat me.
Like, physically?
Well, yes, earlier on, but no. I mean, in terms of marks in sixth form.
Yeah.
Not the same people hitting me. That would be a very odd transformation.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, yes, and so I was used to the notion. You know, it didn't snap my mind in the same way that it could have.
I know those people you're talking about. The one kid in school who can compete with you academically and sometimes beats you. And for me, it was always a Chinese girl. My life was always like, fucking Chinese girls, man. They won't go away. They won't leave the top spot at school for you.
Did she have a huge, like, she'd use so many highlighters, she was on the blue one.
Yeah.
When you finally see someone with a blue highlighter, you just think, game over, man.
You'd lean over at a highlighter and go, is that mauve? Has she got onto mauve?
I can't believe you're doing taupe highlighting. And then they turn to you and they say, yeah, I had it custom made.
But it was always a progression of different Chinese girls. Even like in Malaysia, it was like, there was a girl, a quiet Chinese girl who just smashed the exams. And at university, I think in our year, the top grade was a Chinese girl. They're just unbeatable.
Yeah, that sounds like the plot to like an anime. Like, you know, those high school romance animes. Like, you and the Chinese girl are like fighting it out, and you end up, it's like a love hate thing.
Yeah, and there's a rift between you that, like, it's sort of unexplained, really. Like, is it? I guess they're sort of a different class. Like, it's really subtle, like, why they can't get together. Yeah. I find those animes always like that's like I don't understand what the problem is. You seem roughly on the same. On the same wavelength, yeah.
Yeah, it's always something sort of impenetrably Japanese that they can't quite translate.
I think because in Japan, the baseline level of discipline is already so high. To Western eyes, the rebellious guy and the studious girl are about the same.
Yeah, the rebellious guy sometimes needs an extra day to do his homework to a high standard.
And that's why they can never be together.
That's why he has a leather jacket. Oh man. Well, you know what, Phil? How does it feel to be one step closer to being the top Phil?
Oh, Prince Philip. Yeah. I am the prince now, I say, like in Captain Phillips.
He's saying uncomfortable things to the angels now.
Oh, you're wearing bathrobes, are you?
I didn't know they let you lot up here.
Yeah. I mean, the royals just love being in the news right now.
How have you?
I just have no feeling anyway.
Were you among the many people frustrated by all television and radio suddenly just being an obituary fest for two solid days?
Oh, dude! I mean, I was opening the BBC News app and assuming I'd lost internet connection because it just wouldn't change.
I was switching between radio stations, like, you know, in a zombie movie where they keep switching between radio stations and it's the same government broadcast. And it's just like, stay indoors. The plague of the will be decided by the. So stay indoors. Stay indoors. Yeah. Just that. Except it was various people with very high, soft, posh voices saying, really wonderful. Really wonderful. Brilliant. 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 He was really brilliant. He was a brilliant man.
Yeah.
Endless.
Can you imagine what's going to happen when the big one goes?
When Big Mama's house goes.
Big Mama's house 2
big
goes.
Big Mama's right. House of Windsor. Eddie Murphy plays a sort of fat-suited queen. I would watch Big Mama's House of Windsor where Eddie Murphy in a fat suit plays all the royals.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think love that.
I think that would mark a renaissance for both Eddie Murphy and the royal family.
And the fat suit.
I miss the fat. What happened to the fat suit, Pierre? Used to be every other movie centered around someone in a fat suit.
Well, you know, it was controversial because people would say, well, why don't you just cast a really fat person?
Yeah, stop engaging in fat face.
Stop buying your clothes.
The clothing brand.
Fat face. Why, you are taking work from incredibly fat actors. Who are just as capable of doing high voices and fart jokes as Eddie Murphy.
If only given the chance.
Wait, Eddie Murphy wasn't Big Mama's House. He was the Clumps, wasn't he?
Oh, was Big Mama's House Martin Lawrence?
God, I can't believe I'm Googling Big Mama's House. It's Martin Lawrence, yeah, yeah. I'm getting confused between my mamas and my clumps.
He doesn't know his mamas from his clumps, that guy.
We saw the mamas and the clumps at the Camden Roundhouse, didn't we?
Yeah, lovely folk collective.
Well, they started out as a Mamas and the Papas cover band.
Yeah.
And the joke was that they played in fat suits, but then they started doing their own really soulful stuff, actually.
And they changed to the Mamas and the Clumps.
Yeah, what is that? Yeah, there was a real fat suit golden age.
Yeah, there was. I think it was at a time where Hollywood only permitted access to thin people.
Yeah.
Thin actors.
Yeah, no.
But then found itself painted into a corner on the odd occasion it wanted a fat character or like someone fat to joke about.
No one in Hollywood knew anyone fat except John Goodman.
It was like back in the early days of Shakespeare, yeah, where there were female characters but no female actors, so the guys just had to dress up as women.
Yeah.
It was the same thing.
No, yeah, they just got off the phone, like Eddie Murphy and all the producers, going, well, John Goodman said no, so I mean, we'll have to build some sort of suit, I suppose. Do you think that's like something like Big Mama's House is in some ways, or maybe the Clumps is in some ways the dream, because they go, we don't have to cast anyone fat or any other black actors. That's like the racist,
right,
the racist, ableist, you know, white Hollywood producer's dream, where it's like, no one fat got any jobs out of this, and only Eddie Murphy got to do any acting. And he's the talent, so that's great.
Do you remember Shallow Hell?
Oh, I do remember Shallow Hell. What an odd film.
In which, what's a freaking face? Gloop gal.
Oh,
Put stones up your vagina.
Yeah, steam your pussy.
Steam old steamy pussy.
It's old Mildred's high quality pussy steamer. She sells that.
Oh, what is? What's her name? Gregarion. What the fuck's her name?
She does goop.
Gooply Smith.
Oh god, I just on the Goop website and the top thing is it's Mother's Day and we're gushing.
Oh no. Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Don't say that about your mother.
It's Mother's Day and we're gushing.
Awful.
Must be American what? Mother's Day.
We're gushing.
So it's just everything about it is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is nonsense. It wasn't her idea, you know. Some other lunatic conglomerate or group of venture capitalists came up with, like, maybe we can make women grill their vaginas for no reason. And they just looked for the best, loopiest actress they could to front it, and they found old Gwyn.
Are you telling me that Gloop is a sort of sinister globotech?
Yeah, it's like Umbrella. It's like the Umbrella Corporation. It's...
Excuse me.
It's behind everything. Big Goop is behind everything.
She's in the pussy of Big Goop. She's in the pussy of Big Steam.
But in Shallow Hal, she wears a fat suit when she is quote unquote. Ugly version.
Yeah, when Jack Black doesn't want to bone her.
Even someone as schlubby and fat as Jack Black finds it too repulsive.
Yeah.
But looking back now, it's just like, so what are like, can you imagine even trying to get that made today? You'd be shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, if you just say, hey, the Goop lady is going to put on a fat suit, so we all know she's ugly, so Jack Black doesn't want to fuck her. But then a magic spell teaches him a lesson. They'd ask you where you were getting your cocaine.
Sweet movie, though. Good movie.
I just the most impressive thing about Shallow Hal is when you, if you watch any of the behind the scenes commentary, how she managed to steam her pussy in that fat suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the lucky thing was it gave her plenty space. There's actually no padding in there. It's all just vagina steaming equipment
and jade eggs.
Yeah,
a jade.
Yeah, it's like a space suit in there. It's just a system of tubes and compressors and steamers.
She's like a.
It's a contained environment.
She's like a Warhammer figurine.
Explain that.
Like a space marine, all just pipes and life support.
Yeah,
like kind of futuristic robot, cybernetic technology. A jade egg doesn't sound like something you put in your fanny. It sounds like something Indiana Jones wants.
Why can't they be both?
That's true. Indiana Jones and the steamy pussy.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it can't be any worse than Crystal Skull.
It would be, yeah, it would be better than Crystal Skull. Yeah, yeah. I would like to see the you know the bit where Indiana Jones is like weighing up that bag of sand so he can replace it with the golden idol.
Well, this will make you angry. Crystal Skull is the only Indiana Jones movie I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. So you don't know that famous scene where there's the golden idol on the altar and he's got a bag of sand?
Yeah, at this point, I know the scenes. I know the various scenes, but I've never seen the movies.
Okay.
No, I've never seen
But movies. You know that, you know what he's up to there?
Yeah.
Because it's trapped by weight, so as long as he can switch the weight quickly enough. But then it doesn't work and the boulder chases him.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him like doing that, like that weighing up and that tension just in front of Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. And then he goes for the jade egg and it's... Ah! Because it's still hot from being steamed.
He gets steamed, yeah.
He gets his hand, a jet stuff. Of steam shoots out. Do you think there should,
right, yeah.
there should be some
what,
sort of...
Goop is actually selling a security systems.
Yes, Goop Security.
Yeah.
Shoot a jade egg out of your fanny at a burglar.
Yeah, man, that would take him out.
I'd leave.
Yeah, if I weren't knocked out, I'd be like, nope, too rich for my blood.
Do Do you think there should be some sort of like anti-feminism award for women who scam other women with this stuff?
Interesting.
Because it's like it seems to me to be the opposite of solidarity, isn't it? Just to be like,
yeah, but the beneficiary is still a woman, so I think it cancels itself out.
Do you think there's got to be a ratio at work here, though? There's got to be like how many women you fuck over. There's got to be a point where the fact that the beneficiary remains only one woman, the number's not high enough for the equation.
But what about the much harder to measure quality of inspiration that one woman imparts to countless women with her success?
But it's
that's what kind of
isn't it inspiration to scam other women?
Yeah, but they're scamming the same women, so that pool of women is not really expanding, whereas the number of women who are benefiting from the scams are increasing.
But are you sure it's not expanding? Have you never seen someone go from being relatively normal to converted to, like, lighting a candle in their butthole?
No, I, to be honest, I haven't. I feel like the kind of people who are vulnerable to those kinds of things have always been. Or start pretty young.
You think the customers of Chung Fu's Crystal Warehouse are born, not made?
I was thinking specifically about Chung Fu. Yeah, I do. I really do. I don't think you come to it unless you're recovering from some great trauma or addiction.
But those are the most vulnerable people.
I know what you mean.
Ultimately, I think it's just anything's that unscientific. Like, well, essentially, it's Chung Fu's Crystal Warehouse. It's annoying. I'm annoyed that they get to make money out of that.
Yeah. But there are many scams in this world, I guess.
Chung Fu's Crystal Warehouse. I wonder if that survived COVID.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
But did any of the commemorations irritate you at all?
Or Prince Philip? What did I see yesterday? I think the kind of the strange thing is trying to suggest some great shared interpretation of Prince Philip with a man who had all these well-known characteristics and achievements. Despite the fact that no one is really, you know, he's a pretty neutral figure. I think, aside from the occasional gaffe that people would sort of have a guilty chuckle over, no one really knew all that much about him.
I think the older generation did, but I mean, like, obviously, you know, his World War II service and, you know, being a having such an insane childhood, it's all very impressive. But the thing that annoyed me was that they were trying to give him loads of credit for like meeting astronauts and stuff.
Right.
Because it was in The Crown, him being really interested in the moon landings.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I think it's, I'm one of the few people who's never seen The Crown and never will.
I just they mentioned it on the radio in the context of really trying to big up his interest in science.
Right, yeah.
And what annoyed me about that is that he was so interested in the moon landings and stuff, and I was like, you don't get to credit for like being really into the moon landings. That was everyone.
Yeah.
And then there's always met astronauts and whatever, and it's like, well, he's a prince.
Yeah.
Over the course of the Duke of Edinburgh's life, he'd have to try pretty hard not to meet a fucking astronaut.
Yeah, it's the astronauts who've done well to meet him.
Yeah, he's rarer than an astronaut.
Yeah.
I think it just annoys me when people give any of the royals credit for doing something that the royals are set up to do.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they have all these rubies. And it's like, yeah, we gave them the rubies. That's their job, is to be the ruby owners.
Or going about the year, or going on about years and years of service. It's like, I guess it's service, but it's mainly meeting astronauts and saying, how are you? And yeah. Service of kind. It's service in as much as it's a surrender of any sort of normal life.
Yeah, you've either signed up slash been trapped from birth into a kind of endless PR cycle.
Yeah. It's almost Pierre, like... stay with me here.
Okay.
It's like being in the royal family, someone like being trapped in a cage.
Okay, like... Now, hang on. A cage is like one of those things in an old zoo, right?
That's right. Like an old zoo or something, you might put a bird in if you had a pet bird. But that cage... Well, it's nicer than most cages. In fact, it's made of gold.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
But here's the rub. Right. It being gold does not change its function as a cage.
Okay, so hang on. Let me just get this straight. Because I was going to say, when you said that they were like in a cage, I was going to say, but Phil, being in a cage is, you know, it's like low quality. It's bad. You know, dirty.
Ah.
And then you said gold. Yes. And I thought, hang on a minute. Like some sort of fancy trap.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way. Yes, a fancy trap is a nice way of looking at it. Yes.
God.
Yes.
Imagine.
Yes, they have little freedom, but it's high quality little freedom, if you can imagine such a thing.
Right. So it was what? Sorry, it was a silver cage?
No, again, it was gold, which is more valuable than silver.
Right. God. No, that is better. God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Phew. I mean, it's what a crazy... Yeah, I wonder if anyone... I wonder if they know.
About the gold cage analogy.
Or just that I wonder if they know they're in a big gold cage.
Well, I don't think... I for their sakes, I hope they don't find out, because, you know... It might depress them.
It might depress... Yeah, it might upset them to find out.
They've probably never looked at it that way, and I don't want to shatter the illusion for them that they're actually living a very good life. they're in a gold outside, as it were.
Yeah. They're in a big world of gold. a lifetime of service. I guess he kind of volunteered for it in the sense that he married the queen. But I mean, especially in those days, I mean, like in the 50s, you could just do whatever you wanted. I mean, it's much more of a horrible thing to try and sign up for now.
I watched a bit of Nicola Sturgeon's tribute to him.
Was it begrudging? Scotland.
Oh, of course. It was so begrudging. And she spoke about how he sort of played second fiddle to a powerful woman, which was something men in the 20th century were suddenly finding themselves having to get used to. And like, we've had queens before, Nicola.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Victorians?
Yeah, or the Elizabethans.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit wacky. But,
well, it's because everyone's using it as a chance to just talk about themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about their shit and trying to refer back to herself, a powerful woman, and okay. Just
I thought you were going to say that she said, "I remember when I met Prince Philip. It was it was a week before that. Oh no, hang on, it was the month before that."
very good.
Old forgetful Nicola.
Yeah, I mean that whole Simon thing's come to nothing. I knew it would.
It seems to... It all,
I knew it would come to nothing.
It all seems to have melted away. It's all very... Something weird's going on in Holyrood.
I let myself get excited. I was like, here it is, Phil. The end of Scottish separationism. But...
Yeah.
Of course. Nothing. Nothing gets
better. Well, Prince Philip has...
Separationism?
Separatism?
Is that a word? Separatism.
Well, Prince Philip has strategically died very close to the May elections.
Yeah.
Maybe the outpouring of affection for the old royals will...
Interesting. Yes, we've given the our cousins up north a taste of what it is to lose an element of the British family, and we'll see. We'll see how it sits.
And we'll keep killing royals until you learn. We will kill a royal on the hour, every hour, until our demands are met. I was thinking, Phil, that I've come to understand, like, first of all, the only people whose opinion on Prince Philip I care about at all are the Vanuatu Islanders, who see him as a god.
Ah, yes, yes. These are the people who. So it's the people of an island where?
Vanuatu.
Where's that?
It's it's somewhere in the Pacific, I think. It's
oh, the Pacific. Okay.
It's I think Vanuatu is the smallest nation, or is it Micronesia? It's up there.
And they worship.
It's South Pacific. Prince Philip as a god. Pacific. It's they don't overall. It's one particular island.
Okay.
Or like two villages. Or
why?
Something.
So was it one visit?
So when they became aware of him, they had some sort of story about they believe that it's not actually the Western press doesn't seem to have grasped it properly. It's not Prince Philip they worship. They think Prince Philip is a spirit of a mountain.
Right, right. So they're worshipping their own mountain god, who they think inhabited Prince Philip's body.
Yes, so they had a story about some sort of mountain spirit who, in the whole point of the story was that he left Vanuatu to look for a powerful wife.
To look for a powerful wife?
Yes, in the story. For whatever
a powerful
reason.
White.
Wife.
Okay.
But both is good, you know. And so the idea is that when they discovered that there was this glorious man who was all powerful and whatever, but had, you know, and they there were lots of quotes saying like, oh yes, and we could tell because he was walking behind the queen even though he was the man. And so that's like some relation.
Ah, so the queen was the queen was the powerful wife the mountain god found.
Yeah, so he zipped into Prince Philip's body and married the powerful wife.
Because
they're in the Commonwealth.
So he wasn't born. Was he born as Prince Philip, or did he enter Prince
Philip?
Well,
that's the bit of the theology that I'm interested in. I don't. Right. I can't. Basically, the two places that believe this are like remote villages that like someone had to like hike for 2 days just to tell them he died, kind of thing. These guys are not easy to reach. But because of that, loads of people, like, I saw an article saying, like, oh, maybe they'll start worshipping Charles now. And it's like, right, your insane Western animist tradition doesn't match up to their... There's a really...
Well, it's not. That's not the animist tradition. That's the hereditary tradition.
No, I know. I'm making, like, an equivalency. Like it was a funny... to me, it was a funny example of someone saying, our normal way of traditional society will be followed by these people.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Like the idea of that is just as insane as the mountain spirit.
Yeah, to them the idea of power merely being inherited by the sun is as ridiculous to them as it is a mountain spirit is to us.
Yeah, basically, well, or it's just that it's all the same flavor. We're all just talking about tofu here. It's the same thing. Whereas, like, they're like, if you were to say to them, like, right, now the mountain spirit is inside his son, they'd be like, why? What? Why would the mountain spirit fly into his son? What? When he died? No.
Yeah, I wonder where they think the mountain spirit is now. Does it come back to the
They've
mountain?
They've got to have a big commemoration and a conference, and the conference is closed to outsiders, and who knows?
Is that true?
Yeah. It's happening now.
So they're having like a, what's it called when the popes get together to pick a new pope?
The College of Cardinals
conference, college,
a papal conclave.
Conclave.
That's it.
And someone will have to watch for smoke and see what color of smoke comes up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really interesting if you read it up on this. It's essentially the idea that they reckon that Prince Philip would come back, and in the story, the mountain spirit goes away and finds a powerful wife, and then they all come back to Vanuatu and bring lots of riches.
So they were waiting for Prince Philip to return?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they met him in Aston. Yeah. They said, when are you coming back?
Wow, wow, wow.
In the 70s. And apparently he gave them a very cryptic answer.
Oh, that's fine.
Apparently he said, I will send you a message when it gets warm.
When it gets warm?
Mm.
Wow. God, I'm starting to believe this mountain thing.
I'm more into it than Prince Charles.
That's pretty good.
I liked it as well. Also, that's quite a cool thing for Prince Philip to have said, because you can really chew that over, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was such a troll, really.
And towards the end, he looked like a troll.
Yeah, I mean, he started saying like weird shit to people just because he got bored. He just got bored saying hi to people. He just started saying weird, telling weird jokes and saying weird shit.
I said, I was saying to friend of the podcast, an excellent stand-up, Alex Keeley. Mm-hmm. I was saying all of Prince Philip's really off-color remarks, like people would be defending him to the hilt if he was a 1990s American stand-up.
Right. That's true.
Off color humor, they'd be like, yeah, but he was a rebel, you know? He spoke the truth.
I mean, Prince Philip is basically Bill Hicks, and I'm willing to die on that hill.
He is both Bill Hicks and a Vanuatan mountain spirit. What a man.
We haven't even mentioned, Pierre, that yesterday marked the first step towards freedom.
That's right.
For people in England, UK.
Pubs, gyms, haircuts.
Yes, man.
Have you done any?
My gym subscription has restarted. Who knows when I'll actually go back, but the subscription's restarted without...
Spring is here.
I didn't ask them to, but it's restarted. Yeah? I've not been out yet. I know, I find myself weirdly apathetic about it.
Oh, yesterday I got my hair cut, I went to the gym. The only thing I missed out on was a fresh, foaming pint.
Nice. How was the gym?
It wasn't busy.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I went in the middle of the day, and even though people are working from home, I suppose they're still working, aren't they?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And the haircut, did you have to book, like... months in advance?
No, sir. It's a barber's, baby. Walk in. Take your ticket. Take your chance.
Wow. Wow, old school.
Jackknife Barbers near Highbury and Islington Station. I walked in, Phil. I walked in and I got my hair cut by the same stoic Afghan man that I did before the pandemic.
Mmm. Yeah, I mean, I saw a picture of your new haircut on Instagram there, and it does look like you're serving in Afghanistan.
yeah, he went a little high and tight. He went a little high and tight, but that's okay. I was more interested in like re-experiencing having short hair again, having had a mop on my fucking head for months and months and months.
Yeah, you got the full Hurt Locker.
Yes, I went Jarhead.
Yeah. It looks good, though. Nice one. Well done.
Well, it's just, especially now that the weather's getting hotter, it's like, it just felt like a matter of grooming like you would for a dog.
And at this point of the seasons, Pierre must shed his winter coat. As winter turns to spring, the Pierre must shed his warm outer layer to keep cool in the April sunshine.
Like
an explosion of activity from the British drinker.
All the people coming back to the pubs like turtles going to the sea.
Yeah, one topples over and can't get up.
Yeah, like a Pathé newsreel. Careful there! It's a brilliant British summer as people return to pubs and have a foaming pint.
What I don't get are the people who queued up for hours to get into Primark.
What is that about? Like
Primark?
Just frothing at the mouth.
Just clothes shopping. Why? Sorry?
Frothing at the mouth for Primark.
Yeah. Could not wait.
They're just like, I can taste those delicious slave clothes now. I want to buy a pair of pumps that will fall apart in 2 days.
That's why we're all here, because all the stuff we bought before the last lockdown has fallen apart already.
No, maybe that's it. That's why all the queues were just in rags.
Yeah, it's just all people with returns.
Oh, man. Actually, the t-shirts last okay, but I did buy a pair of shoes from Primark once, and they did fall apart astonishingly quickly.
I bought a pair of shoes from Primark, and I looked at the sole, and I could see the glue. Like, I don't think you're supposed to see the glue sort of...
No.
Poking out between the sole of the and the bottom of the shoe and shit.
Yeah, you shouldn't... The bottom of your shoe shouldn't look like a kid in art class in a rush.
Yeah, it
just
totally
glue gunned it on its way out of a sort of conveyor belt.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it was made by a kid in a rush.
Yeah. And he did use a glue gun.
He did.
Yeah, God. Queuing up and... Who misses... Like, that's the thing. I'm not a shopper. I'm not a natural shopper. Who misses shopping that much? Or all the queues of, like, frightening-looking teens for Topshop in Oxford Circus.
Yeah.
Did you see that in the news footage? It's like this swarm of kids with, like, masks on and their hoods up, so they look like they're in a fucking terrifying music video.
No.
All swarming into Topshop, yeah. And I just thought, gosh, really? I mean, it's been a long old lockdown, but I don't think even at my most... I mean, I lived my teenage years in a self-imposed lockdown anyway.
But I think, we always forget, teens, you know, before you were allowed to drink alcohol, finding a reason to go out to socialize, finding a place to do it in was pretty tough. Like,
yeah, that's true.
So Topshop is about as good a spot as any, really. There's a purpose there. You're looking for clothes, but it's also a place to talk and catch up.
Well, they don't have a pub. That's true.
Yeah, this is the thing. And I've always thought of this. Like, even when I was a teenager, like, we need the equivalent of a pub, because we're going to cafes and drinking coffee and, like, 15. Just drinking coffee after... Like, why does a 15-year-old doesn't need that much coffee, but there's nothing else we could do. So we just had to go to fucking Costa. It was weird, man.
I guess you need to go to, like, a diner and have a malt with your best gal.
That's it. But the UK has never had that.
No, the UK...
We don't have a drugstore where you can get a milkshake. And...
Well, the UK has always just been, like, what, youth centres and, in the 1950s, dance halls.
Right, yeah.
That's it, really.
And church before that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess church? The park? Maybe the reason the UK doesn't have it is that up until the point where you're supposed to have that, everyone was just supposed to have jobs helping out with rationing of the war or something. Like, whereas in America, they did so well and had so much money in the 50s, they were just like, we need some kind of special milkshake shop.
I always find it strange how they were called... drug stores.
Yeah, it's very...
Like the place that sold ice cream and milkshake was the drug store.
Well, I think they also sold, like, everything else, didn't they? Like, just raisins and paracetamol.
Like Coca-Cola used to be, like, it used to be, like, your doctor would prescribe you some Coke. Yeah.
I'm going to look that up, actually. U.S. drug store. Milkshake. What happens when I type that in? Why did pharmacies or drugstores become associated with soda fountains and ice cream? Good question, guy on Reddit. Soda fountains and ice cream were popularized on the turn of the century. I'm assuming that means 1900s. And pharmacies were one of the more common places to install them. And this person says, I can remember local drugstore selling ice cream even in the early 80s.
Did they just have the kit? They just, like, understood the kit and chilling and the...
Soda water had been considered as a medicinal aid.
There you go.
And, malted milkshake and malt is sort of for your health, and soft drinks used to contain drugs, or... The ginger and ginger ale was for sort of nausea. Well, it is quite on the nose, isn't it? I'm going to the drug stop. Buy myself some drugs. Pharmacy is quite nice and almost euphemistic, isn't it?
What are you going to do today? Are you going to go out?
I might go to the gym again.
Wow.
You never know.
Catching up
and trying to make myself uncastable for my own personal version of the clumps. I'm trying to declump. It's springtime and it's a good time to declump. What about yourself?
You don't get in that no man's land of not fat enough to be in the clumps as yourself, but too fat to wear a fat suit.
Yes, a sort of Seth Rogen.
You need one or the other. Yeah, exactly. There you
go. I think at the moment I'm Seth Rogen-ing.
Or like a Ricky Gervais or something.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais. It's no good. It's no good. Yeah, I have to pick a team. Pick a team.
Pick a side. Pick a lane. To use modern parlance, Pierre, pick a lane and stay in it.
Pick a lane and then stay in it forever.
You're not allowed at the other lanes because you've chosen your lane.
That's right. And then, of course, I've got my... I'm streaming later. Bit of Age of Empires 2. Bit of classic.
Oh!
Yeah.
Nice one.
Lovely old classic. What about yourself?
I'm going to try and sort my shit out. I've got laundry to do and some books to sort out, and I've got a little bits of work to catch up with.
Lovely.
Fun stuff that I might as well have been doing. It might as well still be lockdown for me, basically, Pierre, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the Wang lockdown has not ended, has not eased yet.
Yeah.
Someday you'll be free. Free to go to the pub and then to Primark and then get a haircut.
Yeah, what a day that'll be. Anyway, hope everyone is enjoying the roadmap to normality.
Irreversible.
I love how Boris Johnson keeps calling these steps irreversible, but then says, "But don't fuck up, or we'll reverse it."
I will turn this car around.
I will turn this irreversible car right around.
We're irreversibly going to Disneyland unless you kids keep fucking around back there.
Enjoy. Love you lots.
All right.
Bye.